Good morning, everyone. Let's try that again. Maybe you didn't hear me. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you can see here, I don't have much of a voice today, so these amazing ladies are going to kind of step in and fill that role. So what that means is we need you guys to sing extra loud because you don't get to stand up here and listen to me talk. So you got to sing loud this morning. Can we do that? Can we praise the name of the Lord this morning? Come on, let's lift his name up high. Come on.
Won't be quiet.
Thank you. Have you ever been around somebody who complains about everything? Don't point. Don't you point. It ain't time for that. The food's all wrong. It's cold. It's not cooked right. It don't have enough salt. It's too greasy. The weather's wrong. We need rain. It's so dry. What in the world is happening? It's too hot. It's too cold. The people are all wrong. They don't talk like we do. They don't think like we do. They don't look like we do. After about 5 minutes, if you're anything like me, you're thinking, I got to go somewhere. I have got to find another place to be right now. Now let me flip that. Put me as the complainer because I'm guilty. What if the reason some people don't want to be around me has got nothing at all to do with them, but everything to do with my attitude? Paul says in Philippians 2:14 through 18 that there are two things that will quietly keep you from shining the light of Jesus Christ that's in you. They're just small little things. Grumbling and disputing. Don't take this lightly. If Paul fought enough to, in this letter, make such a quick, concise, easily to interpret command, it's worth us hearing it and seeking to apply it through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't want to pay the cost of complaining, then we must stop grumbling and questioning. Look at verse 14. Do some things without grumbling and disputing. Let's read that again. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. No exceptions. I don't have a fix for you so that you'll never grumble or dispute again today. This is human nature. This is part of our flesh, but it is a sinful desire that each and every one of us have. This will require a renewed mind and a renewed spirit and a renewed feeling of the Holy Spirit each and every day if we're ever going to be successful. When we do this, it grieves the heart of God. Put yourself really quickly, you can relate, anytime you do something for someone out of love and they grumble and complain about what they do, how does that make you feel? You immediately assume that they are not thankful for the work that you've just done, correct? If God is blessing us throughout each and every day, and yet we find ourselves grumbling about every single thing that God does for us, how do you think that that makes God feel? Not very good is my imagination on that. It also grieves the heart of our family. It grieves the heart of our fellow Christians. It grieves the heart of everybody that we're around when we do it. Grumbling means complaining. Disputing means questioning when you shouldn't be questioning. There's things that you should question. That's not what he's talking about. If I get up here and start reading out of a different, not even out of the Bible, or I get up here and start teaching you wrong truth, should you question me? Yeah. That's rightful questioning. But just to simply question every single thing that you don't like, now we're at the heart of what he's telling us not to do. Although a natural tendency, we're commanded to refrain from both actions. Let's have a great example. I always like to give Jesus because he's the perfect example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he is about to give his life on the cross for something that he didn't do and he didn't deserve. He's fixing to go through complete and bitter agony. If there were a right time, a just time to complain, I would say it would be Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he's fixing to go do something that he shouldn't have had to do. And how do we see him in Matthew 26:39? And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass, yet not as I will, but as you will." And we all know that his will was to do the will of the Father, and he indeed did the will of the Father, and he did so without grumbling, complaining, and griping. He persisted in obedience, and he glorified the Father. Here's an example of a time very recently, this past week, that shows what grumbling and questioning usually leads to. We had to go to the doctor's office this week. We're in the waiting room. One of my least favorite places to be in the entire world is in a doctor's office waiting room. In that situation, I get bored very quickly. I have my daughters with me. Regina comes over and she hops in my lap. It always entertains me to put my index finger in her ribs as hard as I can and make her squirm and laugh and holler and everything else, and then maybe I'll give her old horse-eating corn. It's just what I do. It entertains me. Well, Virginia is throwing a scene in the middle of this whole thing, laughing and cutting up, then Madeline is not happy with this scene. Well, then she grumbles about our lack of maturity in the waiting room. And then that makes Virginia mad. And then Virginia starts yang-yang at Madeline. And now when they both get mad, guess who else gets mad? Now I'm mad. All because it just started with a little grumbling, a little everything, and then now we're all mad at each other in the waiting room. That's typically what's going to happen when we start grumbling in real life. I'm sure you've probably got some examples that you could share as well. Our joy and our peace in these situations have been exchanged for anger and at worst, such bitterness. And it all started with a little grumbling. So this week, where can we seek to refrain from grumbling and disputing? Do you have an opportunity? Everybody do this. Yeah. As long as you're alive when you leave here, you're going to have an opportunity to do this. At home, this week, before you complain, pause and ask yourself. I don't do this often. This will help you, I bet. Is what I'm fixing to say going to completely change the entire mood of this household? And if so, and it's just a little grumble that nobody needed to hear, keep it to yourself. And guess what? Maybe the mood of your household will be better. I'm going to try that this week. Maybe next week I'll follow up with y'all and let y'all know how it went. At work, this week, tomorrow, Monday, you're going to have an opportunity to complain. Replace that complaint with one word of gratitude. One word of thankfulness instead of complaining about the activity. At church or in the body of believers, boy, I'm preaching myself because criticism is one of my gifts. Instead of criticizing, take another minute and look at that person and go, what's one way that I can encourage them right now instead of criticize them? And then encourage them. At the ballpark, don't be that parent. I have been that parent many times. If it doesn't help, don't say it. I played this part earlier in the season, one of Lindley's very first games at Gardendale. I thought the umpires knew the rules. I was wrong. Girl fouls one off, goes right behind her. Now, it's close to the net. It is, the backstop net. But I heard it, and I know everybody else heard it. That ball makes a distinct sound because it's spinning really fast. And when it comes down that net, it goes, you can hear it when it hits the net. Now, I don't know how astute to the rules of baseball and softball you are, but anytime that ball touches the net or touches the fence, it's foul ball. It's over. The play is over. You can't do anything with it. Well, the catcher's right there beside it. It hits the net and then lands in her glove, and the umpire says, out! I lost my mind. And I didn't keep it in here. I didn't keep it in here. It starts coming, and I just can't stop it. And there it's going. And I'm telling him, you know, that he's not a great umpire. I'm telling him that he has an opportunity to revisit the rules and maybe learn them accurately. How much did that help? He said, oh, this guy's right. I'm sorry. That's a foul ball. Batter come back in the batter's box. No, he did not. And I don't know. I guess I thought that maybe two, three plays later, the next inning, I could just continue to say it every time the ball hit the net and he didn't call him out. I was like, well, what's changed? Now we're not calling people out when the ball hits the net. Guess how proud my family was of me. My mom was there. She was super excited. Y'all laugh, but y'all do it too. And it ain't good. It don't change anything. And it sure don't make us look good as representations. So, bottom line, if it doesn't help, guess what? Don't say it. Move on. The second thing we can do is to start shining instead. Verse 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I despise being proven wrong. If you've ever argued with me, you know that I'm speaking the truth. I really don't like being proven wrong when I'm guilty. When I've done something that I'm not proud of. As Christians, we're called to be blameless. We're called to be innocent. We're called to be above reproach. And why this is so important is the character of God, but it's so important because the world around us is not those things. So we're called to be different from the unbelieving world around us. One time in the Bible that we see this as a clear example is in the book of Daniel. So they're in Babylon, and these Jewish young men are in Babylon. And Babylon, they're worshiping other gods. They're not worshiping Jehovah at all. They have no fear of him, no anything. But then here's Daniel and his friends, and they do have a fear of God. And they call them forward, Daniel's three friends, and they're blameless in a situation, but they call them guilty. And they send them to this fiery furnace. Many of y'all remember that. And they heat this thing up. And they put them in that fiery furnace, even though they're blameless. What happens? Y'all remember the story. God protects them, sends an angel and protects them, delivers them from this fiery furnace. What kind of an impact did that have? Was everybody like, yeah, it happens all the time. Something about the temperature in the furnace, I don't really understand. There must be a compartment in there. No. The king comes up, he is blown away. He cannot believe it. It makes a huge impact how they lived. They lived blameless and innocent in an unbelieving generation. Do you think that our world today could be impacted if we could start working out our salvation and start living a little more blamelessly, a little more innocent, following God? Do you think that we could stand out in our world in 2026 today? Absolutely. If for no other reason, do it for the glory of God so that he can be seen amongst his people who are his followers and his children. What if your no-complaint life exposed the darkness around you? And as a side effect, drew people to Christ through you. Just by refusing to complain and grumble and gripe and question everything that happens in your life. Seems like a small thing, but I'm going to tell you, that's notable. There's people that I have thought of studying this that I don't know that I've ever heard them complain. Y'all know anybody like that? They make an impact on your life. The second part, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So when you stop grumbling, you start shining. You start being notable. Because your attitude, my attitude, is one of the clearest ways, one of the easiest ways that people can see Christ through me. Many examples of light dispelling the darkness exist. I'm going to use Virginia again. She's not in here. Bethany worked this week, and she was pretty tired one night when she came home from work because she's such a hard worker, and I love her. But she went to bed a little early, which is pretty uncommon. Usually that's my role. And I told Virginia, I said, have you brushed your teeth? Well, the answer to that is always no, by the way. I said, let's go in there and brush our teeth, but our bathroom is attached to the bedroom. And I said, don't go in there and turn on the light. I said, let's navigate through this dark bedroom, and let's go in the bathroom together, and then we'll close the door, and then we'll turn on the light so that we don't wake your mama up. Well, after we hit the door facing three or four times, and I hit my hand on the knob, we finally made it. I'm sure the light would have been better than all the racket that we made, but we made it in the bathroom. We shut the door. Complete darkness. As soon as that light switch comes on, guess what happens? You can see everything. You can see it clearly. The light, when I turned it on, it didn't complain. It didn't question. It just came on. And immediately, all the darkness in the room was completely gone, and we could see. If we would just shine as we're called to shine in this world today, it'd be the same thing. People would be like, wow. Wow, what is different about them? We'd shine like lights in a dark world and help people to see. That's what Paul's saying right here. In a crooked and dark world, we're not called to blend in. We're not called to just be another part of the darkness. We're called to shine so Jesus can see through, so they can see Jesus through us. Here's how you can shine this week. And this is going to happen. I'm telling you what, if there is ever a sermon that I've preached that y'all going to get to apply or have an opportunity to, whether you apply or not, it's up to you, it's this one. When others complain, maybe if I say I preach too long, they may be complaining before they even get out of the door. I don't even know. I'm hungry, whatever. When others complain, you stay calm. Control yourself. Because the first thing we want to do when people start complaining is like a pack of dogs when they jump on another one. We want to jump in there too. Well, you're complaining, I'm going to complain too. I think it's hot too. I think they need to turn the air up in this place or air down in this place. We want to jump right in there. Stop. When you go to the coffee area in the morning at work and everybody's in there complaining, it's Monday. I got to be at work again. I wish I had a vacation day or whatever. Don't add to it. And if you can't, just walk away. That's better than adding to it. There's something you could do tomorrow. When others argue, you come up to an argument, your kids are arguing today, bring peace to it. Don't jump in there and argue with them. Breathe a little breath air of peace into the situation and see what happens. When others are tearing somebody down this week in a conversation, here's my students here. This would be a good opportunity. If I remember, high school was a really great place that this happened a lot. When y'all are in a conversation this week, when the group's just, I'm talking about just breaking somebody down for how they played, how they look, whatever, in your high school, it could be anything, don't say a word. Don't add one word to the conversation. Actually, won't you say something? What, have y'all thought about this? And let it be a compliment. They'll look at you like you're crazy, but your light will shine. Ask yourself one question before you speak. Will what I'm about to say make things brighter or darker? If it's brighter, say it, scream it. Darker, keep it to yourself. Our third thing is to rejoice and share joy Let's read verses 16 through 18 together. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. You cannot live this way. I can assure you, if there's anything I can tell you is true, you cannot live this. You cannot follow these commands unless you're doing what he's telling us right here. You have to be in God's Word every day, studied up, reading it, if you're ever, ever going to stop complaining and grumbling. If we ain't holding on tight, we're going to fly out and fall off. Guaranteed. When the girls were young, almost every evening in the summertime, I would take them down to the swing set in the bottom of our yard. Big old iron swing set. And Lindley is my child that is can see risk less than the other children. She's like me. She's the most like me. I don't see danger in hardly anything. And so when she would get on the swing, I could always push her a little bit higher than the other ones. Madeline's a little more reserved. She'd kind of be like, Daddy, stop. Daddy, stop. You know, whatever. But Lindley would push it higher. So I would get her going. And I'm talking about I would push her so high. You know how the swing will jump when it maxes out, like the chain gets slack in it or something? That's how high I would be pushing her. And she'd just be laughing and cackling. It was awesome. Well, until one day, I give her a good old push, and that girl, when she gets to the top, decides, whoosh, both hands. I never saw the kid doing that. I didn't think anybody would do that. She did that. And when she did, her feet led, and she's flying like Superman backwards, feet first. I could see nothing good about to happen when she hit the ground. All I can think about is her mother is going to kill me. That baby girl looked like a rock skipping across the pond. She said, floop, floop, floop on her face backwards. And, you know, I almost make it to her fast as she stops sliding. Praise the Lord. Let's give a testimony of the goodness of God. The baby girl didn't have one thing wrong with her. But why did she do that? Now, we will never get in the brain of that child and figure out why she did that. But let's talk about the physical thing. What was the one thing that she did that led to that turmoil? She let go. If we let go of the Word of God, the first thing we're going to do is start thinking about complaining. We're going to start thinking about what we ain't got. We're going to start thinking about what we should have. We're going to be questioning everything in our life. And is that going to bring us peace and joy? Is that going to bring anybody else peace and joy? Absolutely not. We have to be tightly tethered, a tight grip onto God's Word. It's the only thing in the power of the Holy Spirit that kept Paul from writing these words from a prison cell, thinking he didn't know, he thought he was fixing to die. And he's encouraging other people. Not complaining about where he's at all, but trying to encourage other people where they're at. That's powerful. That's the power of the Word of God. And that's the power that we can have when we hold on to it tightly. This week, if you want to try this, start your day in the Word. Before your attitude turns sour and starts to stink, go to God's Word. Tomorrow morning, try it. Just start there. I'm not even telling you a word count or a chapter count. Just when you get up, say, I'm going to listen to what that old crazy preacher said, and I'm going to see if this is going to keep me from complaining today. Pick this thing up, open it, read it. Better yet, let's add one more step. Pray. Ask God to speak to you and encourage you in His Word. Give you something to keep you from complaining and questioning. Open it up and read it. And truly read it. Don't just check a box. Read it and let God talk to you. That's the first thing you can do. When you do start to complain, because I guarantee it's going to hit me, I'm going to try to make it out of the parking lot, guys. I'm telling you, I am going to try to do this. But the next time, no matter what the complaint is, I'm going to try to stop myself. If I don't stop it before it gets out, I'll stop it mid-sentence. Try it. See if you can do it. See if you can stop it here. If you can't stop it here, at least stop it here. Set it in your heart that you're going to choose joy instead. Instead of complaining and continuing down this bad path that I'm facing to go on, I'm going to choose God's joy and I'm going to be appreciative of what He gave me. I'm going to be thankful. What is our complaining and questioning costing us? It's costing you your joy. It's costing you your peace. And this one's a big price. It's costing you your light of Christ that He has given you from shining. If we wonder why our home feels tense, why our workplace is caustic, why our influence upon other people feels small, it might not be the situation. It might be what you bring into it. God did not call us to blend into a complaining, questioning world. He called us to shine in the midst of it. Today, set a goal to stop one complaint. Don't act like you're going to eradicate this from your life completely, but stop one. And then tomorrow, go from there. Start a habit. Start a trend through the power of the Lord. If you're a non-believer today, I want to encourage you to trade your grumbles for the gospel. Jeffrey and the team can come up. I grumble and I have Jesus. I question and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I can't imagine what somebody is trying to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. But today, if you see no good, nothing to be happy about, no joy, it's time to give your life to Jesus and let Him give you a new heart. Let Him give you eyes to see and ears to hear and start shining. Give Him, let Him put a light inside of you through the power of His Holy Spirit so that you can shine forth and change this world and have a purpose in this life. There's no greater joy than the joy we get from the Lord through having a relationship with Him. Amen? And today that's still possible through belief and confession of Jesus Christ. The difference between a dim life and a bright one might be as small as the very words you choose to say the next time you speak. If you would, please stand. Jeff and the team's got a song lined up for us here as we close. One last song of worship. The altar is open. And I'll be down front. If there's anything that I can help you to do, just know that all those are possible. My encouragement to you is to respond as the Holy Spirit leads you to respond.